الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خيرت بين أن يدخل نصف أمة الجنة وبين الشفاعة فاخترت الشفاعة لأنها أعم أترونها للمتقين لا ولكنها للمذنبين الخطائين أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected Ulama Ikram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, of true value, the real wealthy possession and true asset which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed every human being with is the life which we have in this world. Unfortunately, when this concept of asset or wealth is spoken of, then instinctively our mind tends to go in the direction of gold, silver, rands, dollars. Little do we realize that all the material possessions of this world, for them to be of any benefit or value to us, this life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that has to be there. How many mornings, how many evenings, how many hours of this valuable possession, of this valuable life which Allah Ta'ala has given us is spent in Allah's ma'asiyat, in Allah Ta'ala's disobedience. Countless mornings and evenings you'll find people sitting by, what are you doing? I'm passing the time. I'm whiling away the time. Hours and hours spent in front of the shaitan box. Hours and hours spent on some soccer field or some cricket match. Time is being whiled away, passing the time in frivolous, leisurely activities which are of absolutely no benefit whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala has not given us this life, and Allah hasn't given us this time in this world for us to while it away. Yeh zindagi guzarne ke liye nahi hai, yeh zindagi banane ke liye hai. This life is not to be spent and whiled away. But this life has to be made. We have to make it precious. We have to make it valuable. Unfortunately, when this most fundamental and most important of questions is put in front of us, that how can I make my life valuable? How can I make it precious? How can I make it worthwhile? Then majority of humanity at this juncture tends to fail miserably in his understanding of what makes life precious. Like ulama put it, they say, izzat, shohrat, dolat, iqtidar or khayshat, worldly respect, worldly fame and recognition, wealth, the acquisition of it, leadership, kingdom in this world, that which is apparent, that which is tangible, the acquisition of the material things of the world which is in front of us, that we have made it the mirage of our lives. We have made that the goal. We have made that the ideal. We have made that the objective. And we are competing with one another. Each one trying to get more. Each one trying to acquire more. And considering this to be the goal and the objective. Considering this the manner in which people can be judged. So-and-so has made his life valuable, or so-and-so is a failure. However, the fact and the reality of the matter is that that Allah who created this dunya, that Allah who created these worldly embellishments which are in front of us, Himself describes their true value. Many, many verses in the Quran. Just one verse will suffice for us. Allah Ta'ala says, زُوِيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In this verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala enumerates, Allah Ta'ala counts out before us in very clear and simple and basic terms the things which we consider to be valuable, the things which we consider to be precious, the things which we consider that if I have acquired this, my miraj is done, my life goals have been achieved. What are those things? Allah Ta'ala says, piles of gold, piles of silver, big, big buildings, horses. Obviously, Quran was revealed in a time where the conveyance was horses. We can equate that in today's terms, contemporary terms, fast, fast cars, having big buildings. All this is enumerated. Allah Ta'ala says, زُوِيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. This has been beautified for you. It has been made attractive for you. And what is your response to it? حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala says, your love and your ecstasy and your desire for this is intense. You are deeply in love with it. You are mesmerized by it. You are caught up by its glitter and its glamour. The glamour of fast cars. The latest model. The glamour of big, big buildings. The glamour of nice long holidays. In exotic destinations. Open any newspaper, see the adverts, and see how people are attracted to all these things. And then that Allah who made all this, in one word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the entire humanity what is the value of all this. Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This, all this what we have mentioned is mata. Now what is mata? If you have to use the crippled and seriously lacking English language to translate this word mata, we'll say possessions. These are worldly possessions. But for true understanding of Quran, there is no language in the world that will suffice. What this word mata means? There was one great expert in Arabic grammar. His name was Allama Ismail Rahmatullah Ali. He was regarded to be a leader in his time when it came to grammatical laws and to the meanings of the special hidden inner meanings of the words of the Quran. And when asked, how did he achieve this level? He said that whenever I wondered about the meaning of a word, then I would go to the Bedouins, those who used to live in the heart of the deserts, the villages. I would go and live amongst them and try and listen in their natural daily conversations in what context they use this particular word. And when I heard the context in which they used it, then I would get the correct understanding what this word means. Just to digress, this Allama Isma'i, it is said about him that he had a very dark complexion and he was not considered handsome at all. But his naseeb was such that he got married to a very beautiful woman. One day his wife was standing in front of the mirror, admiring herself. And then she looked at him and she said that, "I am sure that both of us are Jannatis." So he says, "How can you be so sure?" She said, "Every time you look at me, you make shukr. Allah Ta'ala is going to give you a Jannat for your shukr. And every time I look at you, I make sabr. And Allah Ta'ala is going to give me Jannat for my sabr." That is why generally we find women's nature is like that. They say the only time you'll find a woman speaking good about her husband is before marriage and after he dies. In between, very rarely you'll find a woman speaking good. But obviously that depends on the type of effort a person makes in his home. Nevertheless, coming back to what we were talking about. So he said, when he came to this word mata, I went to live amongst the Bedouins in one village in the desert, waiting for an occasion to arise when they will use this word mata in its natural context in a normal conversation where they haven't been induced to use it. He says 6 months passed. This was the manner in which our Salaf al-Salihin, our pious predecessors of the past, finished themselves and exerted themselves. People would travel many, many months, arduous journey, just to acquire the knowledge of one hadith. This scholar of Nahwa, of Arabic grammar, spends 6 months in the desert with a group of villagers to try to understand the meaning of one word, not ayat or not surah, one word of the Quran. So he says 6 months pass, and one woman from amongst these Bedouins, she cleaned her pot, and to clean the pot she used a dirty old rag which she had always used. Now that rag which is used to clean the remnants of the food in the pot, you can imagine what the condition and what the state of that rag would be. She had left it one side. They had already eaten and they were relaxing on one side. A dog came running from the mountain. It started sniffing around for some food. Because they had already eaten, there was no food. So this dog eventually, when they became aware that there's a dog running around their tents, they started screaming, trying to chase it away. In its fright, it grabbed a hold of the rag, which was used to clean the pot, and ran towards the mountain. This woman screamed, "Ja'a al-kalb akhadha al-mata' wa farra ila al-jabal," that the dog came, it took mata' and ran towards the mountain. Allama Isma'i, there was no way of describing his joy. Finally, what he had been waiting for 6 months was finally achieved. The usage of this word mata in its natural context by the Bedouins to make him understand that Allah is saying to you in the Quran, all the wealth, all the possessions, all the attractions, all the glitter and glamour of this entire dunya, which you love with a passion, which has been made enticing and beautified for you, its value in the sight of your Allah is equivalent to the dirty rag that is used to clean the inside of a pot. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, O insan, do you think you have been created in vain? There is no purpose, there is no object, There is no goal behind your creation, that like mad people in a rat race, you are chasing after this dunya, when you have no guarantee for tomorrow even. You have finished yourself, put your children in that, and generation upon generation, no distinguishing line between a believer and between an unbeliever. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. O insan, do you feel this life is just now? That it is going to end here and there's nothing going to happen after this? That you can live this life as you want to live it? أَلَمْ يَكُ نُطْفَةً مِّن مَنِيِّ يُمْنَى ثُمَّ كَانَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقَ فَسَوَّى فَجَعَلَ مِنْهُ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. Allah Ta'ala says, why don't you think there was a time when you got a drop of sperm? Then we took you stage upon stage of creation, till we made you the paragon of our creation, till we made you insan. Then death will come. You will be placed in that ground. That life which you consider to be everything, those worldly possessions, the acquisition of which you consider to be something of value, all that will have been left behind. O insan, do you feel that it ends there? أَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يُحْيَيَ الْمَوْتَىٰ. Is not that Allah? Is not that Allah who could? Is not that Allah who, from a drop of sperm, granted you this existence? Is not that Allah of such a power? Does He not possess the power to once again resurrect you? Bala, 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 qadirina ala an nusawwiya banana. Allah Ta'ala says, not only will I resurrect you, not only will I resurrect you, not only am I qadir on that, but I will resurrect you in such a fashion that your unique fingerprint which you had in this world, that also will be exactly the same. بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا. You will be resurrected and you will have to give account for the life in this world. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, O insan, you have complete and absolute knowledge of the attractive possessions of this world, but of akhirat you are ghafil. The purpose and the object of your creation in this world, the manner in which you will make this life precious and valuable, my respected brothers, is not the acquisition of the material things of this world. This human being, by his very nature, does not possess the intelligence. He does not possess the intellect to work out on his own what makes this life valuable. What is my goal? What is success? What is failure? In which direction am I supposed to be going? What has value? What is of no value? This knowledge, or the answer to these fundamental questions, this insan on his own does not possess the intellect to answer this. If we want to know what makes this life valuable, then we have to go back to the source. We have to go back to that Allah who gave us this life, that Allah who made us insan, that Allah who has made this earth, that Allah who has placed us on this earth, and not only placed us on this earth, that Allah who decides when we will leave this earth also. Who wants to die? In reality, very few people really want to die. No one decides when he is going to die. A lot of times you hear people hear this expression, he escaped from the jaws of death. He escaped from the jaws of death. Bewakuf, in reality, death did not even open its mouth. There is no way you are going to escape. If death came, then there is no question of escape. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says that when that ruh reaches the hulqum, when that person is in sakarat and you see him in that fancy hospital bed with the latest technology and equipment around him, you see the eyeballs rising up so that only the white is visible. You see the froth gathering around his mouth. Unfortunately, my respected brothers, very few of us have the time to even see this. We are so caught up in dunya. Very few of us have the time to stand in the qabristan and look at that black hole. When we are in our revelry, and when we are in our masti, and when we are looking at that zina taking place on that shaitan box in front of us, that is the time we should visualize the whole of the qabr. That is the time we should visualize those moments when we stand in front of the hospital bed of someone else who is in sakarat. And ask ourselves what guarantee we have that in the next hour that won't be us. At the time when we are spending till late at night in front of that shaitan box, so that when that azan for fajr goes, and then muazzin, that caller of Allah, calls out to the masjid, we find it too difficult. We find it too difficult to remove that blanket and come to the masjid. At that time we should visualize this manzar and scene, which Allah Ta'ala says to you, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Visualize this. He is gasping. His eyeballs have gone into his head. The froth has gathered around his mouth. فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are not prepared to accept what we are saying to you, that the life of this world is not in vain, that it is not khel kood and tamasha, and enjoying yourself and outdoing and competing with one another, as if there is no tomorrow, as if there is no qabr, as if there is no accountability, then Allah Ta'ala says, if that is the case, tarji'unaha, return back his ruh into the body. Give him an extension. Like when the lease is expiring, we want an extension. When the transaction is finished, we want an extension. When the loan time payments comes, we want an extension. Allah Ta'ala says, if the acquisition of worldly wealth and worldly possessions, and this competing with one another is the object of the life of this world, then when the sakarat starts, give him an extension. But like the poet says, وَإِذَا الْمَنِيَّةُ أَنْشَبَتْ أَظْفَارَهَا أَلْفَيْتَ كُلَّ تَمِيمَةٍ لَا تَنْفَعُ. That when moth bears its claws, when moth bears its claws, there is no force and no system in this world which is going to benefit you. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. The life of this world is not without purpose. مَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Allah Ta'ala says, we did not create this heaven and this earth out of games for amusement. مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. There is a haqiqi purpose. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمُ الْحَقِّ وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَا وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ. This is truth, there is reality, there is purpose behind the life of this world. That Allah, who has brought a universe with such system, it's not my intention to go into a biological lesson, time is too limited. But just by way of example, the extent to which Allah Ta'ala has placed system in this world, where there is no margin and no room for error. this atmosphere which is around us, which we take for granted, has 21% oxygen. Millions of years have passed. Still the level of oxygen stays the same. There is no visible regulator, no visible valve. This is insan's requirement, so Allah Ta'ala has kept it at that level. They said if the level of oxygen increases just by 2% to 23%, the number of accidental fires that are taking place will increase 700 times. If it has to go up to 25%, then besides the North Pole and the South Pole, everything else in between will be burned to ashes. It is staying exactly 21%. What is insan's contribution to this? We breathe in fresh oxygen. We breathe out carbon dioxide, which is poison. To regulate this balance, Allah Ta'ala has put the trees of the world, put the leaves of the world to work to produce that oxygen which this insan is using up. In fact, this entire universe has been subjugated to the service of this insan. So that everything around us is a living testimony and a reminder to us of the greatness of Allah, of the qudrat of Allah, of the kibriyai of Allah, of the jabarut, of the jabariyat of Allah, of the hakimiyat of Allah. And within this insan, that lungs which we have, it is said each lung is made up of 1.5 million air sacs. If these lungs are to be opened up, they will fill a football field. To carry the blood in the body to the lungs, there are 50 billion tubes which are transporting 10,000 liters of blood a day to the lungs. Why? Because in order to purify and cleanse the blood, it requires a bath of oxygen. That insan who came from a drop of sperm, where did he get this knowledge? That to clean my blood, it requires a bath of oxygen. How did that system come into place to transport this blood in order to give it a bath of oxygen? And then subconsciously, each day you are breathing in and out 20,000 times. In just, like I said earlier, it is not my intention to go into a biological lesson, but just consider 21% oxygen, 1.5 million air sacs, 50 billion tubes, 10,000 liters of blood being bathed in this oxygen, insan breathing in and out 20,000 times. How many countless different measures have to be in place just for each breath of air that you are breathing in? And are you not by every breath of air which you are breathing in without acknowledging the greatness of Allah, are you not expressing your ingratitude to Allah? Each breath of air is reminding you, make sujood before Allah. Recognize the greatness and the deen and the favor of your Allah upon you. And then coming back to what we were mentioning earlier, that Allah who has created a universe with such system, such perfection, everything in a perfect proportion, everything in a perfect measure, no room for error, not to the extent of 1 second or 1 millimeter, Is it conceivable that the same Allah will create a system amongst insan that on the one side you have that person who will lie, who will cheat, who will deceive, who will usurp the rights of others, will steal from the pockets of others in order to fill his coffers. And on the other side is that person whose children will go hungry who live in a simple home, who undergo a life of extreme difficulty and hardship, but will not steal one penny from the next person. Is it conceivable that Allah will let the hereafter of these two be the same? That woman who dances naked on the stage, and that woman who no strange man has even seen one strand of her hair, can they be equal before Allah? That person who in the dead of night is in the casinos, is in the places of haram, and that person who is standing on the musalla and crying night in and night out, can they be the same? That person who each time he opens his mouth, breaks the heart of someone, hurts the feeling of someone, insults someone, swears someone, and that person who will forego his right in order to see the next person happy, can the two be the same? What is our reaction? What is our reaction? There's that tabqa and jamaat who 3-4 o'clock in the morning are out of their beds crying before Allah, where the azan of fajr are in the masjid. And then there is that tabqa and jamaat, years have passed. It is only the rising sun, or it's only the call of the business that causes them to come out of their beds. And when the call is made by, change your ways, change your life, come back to the masjid, come back to Allah, make tawbah from this wrong, what is the normal reaction? Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah is very forgiving, very merciful, so it is okay.